And welcome to What's Bruin, a show about anything and everything Bruin sports. I am your host, Mike Regalado, and I am running solo today, again, because it's summer and the homies have stuff to do, but we have a lot of content to cover, and we have a very special guest who just gave a fantastic interview. We'll get to that in a second. I mean, obviously, if you clicked on this and you read the title of the article, you could see that it was, you know, Dan Cronin, Mick Cronin's brother. So no surprise there. Great interview, though. He gives us some insight on the UCLA basketball team. But before we get into all that, let's get down to some business. You are listening to the What's Bruin Show, and you can check us out on the Twitter at What's Bruin Show. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/What's Bruin Show. I am at The Big Disco on Twitter. Jake is at WBJake68. Bill still doesn't have a Twitter. Jamal is at King's Papa 1015. I think he's in Boston somewhere, or Philadelphia, or somewhere on the East Coast. He keeps tweeting and Instagramming pictures, and it's really annoying because I'm not there. he looks like he's having a fantastic time. So have fun, Jamal. Come back safe. But yeah, the other two Bruins are on assignment. We will be back next week. But as I said, we have a fantastic show for you, as we have a great interview with Dan Cronin. But yeah, in general, I can't give things out right now, but I'll tell you this. There's a lot of changes going down over here, out and about, and around these parts. We'll get into that in the coming weeks. But you can expect a few different things to be altered slightly here at the What's Bruin Show. But nothing that will alter your What's Bruin Show listening experience. You can also reach us at, let's not forget this other bit of information. You can reach us on the What's Bruin Show hotline. Send us any questions, comments, messages you might have about the upcoming football season. In about a week, less than a week. Pac-12 Media Day. Yeah, that should be fun. We'll get to see what the media thinks about who's going to win the North and South Division. Basketball is, you know, it's still a ways away, but it's coming, you know, quicker than you think. Before we get into it, if you want to leave us a message, dial 805-399-4WBSSSS. Suck it, Raina. Troy. Do not have the drops. So sorry. Lo siento, gente. But I'm really excited about this. Jake and Bill said, you know, they weren't able to be a part of this, but they said, you know, do it. We got to get this interview. So, I'm going to get into the interview with Dan Cronin in a little while. Before I do, we want to... Ooh, that got loud really quickly. Sorry about that for the people playing at home. I think I just blew your eardrums off. Here we go, bringing it down just a little bit. Let's get into some headlines, because a lot of stuff has been going down. As I said, football season is almost here. The unofficial start, I've always said, is a Pac-12 Media Day, where we get to see what the coaches and players have to... have to say about the upcoming season, and we will be tracking that here at the What's Bruin Show. But yes, this week it's been preseason award watch week, and a lot of Bruins, actually just one. One Bruin has made two preseason award lists. Joshua Kelly made the Maxwell Award for the best all-around player in the nation, and he also made it onto the Doak Walker, which is the award for the best running back in the nation. I had a few qualms that I wrote about on Gojo Bruin about no UCLA defender making the big Bednarik Award watch list, which is given to the best defender in the nation. Personally, I think at the very least, Darnay Holmes should have been nominated. Keyshawn Lucy herself, he's another guy that I had written about. Chris Barnes. Those three guys should have gotten some sort of nod. I go a little bit further, saying that Quentin Lake should have been another one, as well as Can't talk for today, as well as Tyree Thompson. And you know, follow me. You know, I know he wasn't, you know, stellar last year, but he had his moments. And I think he's going to flash several times if he can really develop his game. He could probably be one of the best linebackers in the Pac-12. I'm just saying. He looked really good in spring. So, you know, there's that. What else do we got? I'm upset about this. The Biletnikoff Award was released on Thursday, which is given to the best wide receiver in the nation, or the preseason award watch list came out. And one would think that Theo Howard, a guy that caught 51 passes, being targeted 51 times, meaning he didn't drop a single freaking pass, was not listed on the Biletnikoff Award watch list. That is an atrocity, ladies and gentlemen, because this guy is going to destroy defenses. And you know, he's obviously going to take a bigger step forward, but this is a crime. It's a crime against nature. Theo Howard should have been on this list. If Amon-Ra St. Brown from USC can get on that list, I don't see why Perfect Hands Theo Howard can't get on this list. Yeah, let's not call him that. That just came to me. I don't want to jinx him. That's not going to be Mad Magic Man this year because I don't want to jinx him. Last week, if you heard our podcast with Raina Troy, we went over our conference picks, and I did a deeper dive into my picks for the Pac-12. You know, I went into it last week. I have Washington and Utah, but I also have to say, not a lot of Colorado fans are happy with my 1-11 pick. That was, you know, more of a tongue-in-cheek pick, but it really pissed off a lot of Buffalo fans. But and a lot of them think that UCLA is not going to be in, at the very least will not be in the top half of the South. They think that UCLA will be last in the nation, and so it just shows you what they're smoking over there out in Boulder. What else have I got up here? I think that's it for the headlines. With Mr. Dan Cronin, brother of UCLA head basketball coach Mick Cronin. And joining us on the What's Brewing Hotline, a very special guest, a man who knows his horses, his basketball, and his brother, a gentleman by the name of Mick. Mr. Dan Cronin, thank you for joining us on the What's Brewing Show.
Oh, thanks for having me. This has been a whirlwind, Ed, the last few months.
It's been... you know, a head spinner, but I think UCLA fans are very happy with the hire. And obviously, you know your brother probably better than most people. Let's start off, you know, talking about that hire. You know, it was kind of turning into a bit of a joke with UCLA, but then all of a sudden, UCLA went to Mick Cronin, a guy who had been in the conversation, but obviously, you know, they were trying to go after the Calipari's and the other coaches whose name I'm blanking on right now. It doesn't matter because I put them out of my head, because right now we have Mr. Mick Cronin. How was the process for you and your family?
Well, it was kind of crazy because so many people had always said that he would never leave. And I always told everybody, I said that he will leave. It's just a matter of the right job. And I remember last year when Alford got let go, a couple of people said, "What do you think?" I said, "That's one of the jobs I'm afraid he'll leave for." So you guys just might want to get ready. But I think nobody really took it serious because they all thought that personally, with all the stuff he's got going on with his daughter and the ex-wife, and it's been well publicized, you know, people didn't think that that would ever get worked out. But, you know, UCLA was just unbelievable in helping him get that worked out to where they're all moving out there, and it's worked out great. And you know, hopefully it all works out for UCLA. But yeah, it was a whirlwind week for sure, you know, deciding if he was going to do this or not. And I was encouraging him to do it. I know I said, "Hey, this is UCLA, man. If they offer you the job, you better take it."
Yeah, it's obviously one of the biggest, and that was a point of contention with UCLA fans and other fan bases. They were saying that UCLA is not a blue blood anymore. which is, you know, ridiculous. I mean, because if you look at, you know, some, you know, look at recruiting simply. UCLA can do the minimal amount of work and still bring players in. I want to get into recruiting in a little bit, but first, I wanted to ask you, what is your perception on Coach Mick Cronin and how he might do with this team?
Well, you know, I got to be honest. I've only seen the players on film. I've watched about 15 of the games from last year and just tried to jot down some notes on each guy. And you know, looking at their high school ratings, which I know is not always a telltale thing, and watching them play and looking at their sizes and everything, I don't see any reason why this team couldn't be good. I mean, I know some people are like rebuilding this and that. I'm looking at the roster going, well, I mean, Tiger's a good player. They just haven't seen it yet. Singleton saw flashes. Bernard saw flashes. Hill, you saw flashes. You know, all these guys are a year older now. You know, Riley's finally going to get to play some. Sharif's tearing up the summer. I mean, there's enough numbers there that I don't see any reason why this team couldn't be very, you know, very competitive and, you know, have a lot better season than people are thinking, because, you know, they're long, they're athletic, and, you know, it's going to come down to the new three-point line. Can we make enough of them? You know, and you know, Tiger's got to play well. You know, with the shortness of the point guard rotation, you got him, and then you got a couple lead guards that are going to try to, you know, just take up the minutes. You know, not another true point guard, but with Ali and Bernard and Singleton, somebody will be able to eat up the rest of those minutes, and they're going to have to play well. You know, the game's all about perimeter players nowadays, and, you know, those guards are going to have to step forward, but I like the talent level. I don't see any reason why they can't have a good season.
Yeah, they last year I said this team simply, they needed just a few things. They have the athleticism, they have the talent. They just needed a bit more discipline, focus, and defense. And it seems that Mick Cronin, you know, he has that. He has the ability to coach up players specifically in those ways. How do you think his style, with the style that he played at Cincinnati, will translate to UCLA? Or do you think he's going to alter it a little bit to match the talent on the roster?
I do think he'll alter it some. I think he'll play a little bit faster than he's been playing at Cincinnati, because I know he always wanted to play faster, but I'm not sure how much the people in L.A. know about the Cincinnati rosters over the last 10 years, but there was some crucial injuries at point guard. There was a recruited point guard that just wasn't as good as we thought he was going to be, that we couldn't turn the reins over to because he kept turning the ball over. You know, there was teams that looked like they could play faster, and then we'd start out the year struggling because they just could not stop turning the ball over. And if that happens, he's going to pull the reins in and say, well, we're going to win with defense and rebounding and control the pace, and that's the way we're just going to have to win. But I think he wants to play faster. So I would be surprised if we didn't play a little bit faster than he did at Cincinnati, because he's going to know that he's got a little bit higher talent level. He's going to be able to recruit a little bit higher talent level. And I think those guys will want to play faster. And hey, you can score 70 points a game. Everybody thinks you're slowing it down. You score 76. Everybody thinks you fly up and down the floor. And all it is two made threes that somebody didn't miss that were wide open.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the key, you know, the key is Sharif going to be able to make the three? Is Smith going to be able to make the three? I mean, is some of these other guys, you know, good with those two freshmen? Are they going to be able to step in and make the three? I mean, there's a lot of questions. But if we don't turn the ball over and we run his sets, they're going to get wide open shots. The post players are going to get a ton of looks, because he's one of the few coaches in the country that still love to throw the ball to the block. So he's going to throw the ball inside, and they're going to spread that perimeter and they go to work. And if Hill can get it done and Riley can get it done on the block, you know, then all of a sudden it opens it up for other guys. But, you know, defensively I'm excited, because when I watched UCLA play twice the last 2 years, both games were against Cincinnati. I flew out there once, watched that game, and then I saw the game here. And my first thing was, they don't even try.
Yeah, that I mean, seemed to be a plague.
I sat in the front row twice, watched 80 minutes, and I just walked out of the arena going, man, they got talent, but they don't even try.
Yeah.
And that is never, that's one thing in 13 years, and everybody here will agree on this, whether you loved Mick or you didn't, there was not a night that you would ever walk out of the arena, ever, and say, man, we didn't try. That's not going to happen. I mean, you're going to see guys diving on the floor. You're going to see guys diving over scorers' tables. You're going to see all that kind of stuff, taking charges. I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, because the guys that are going to be on the floor, because the guys that are going to be on the floor are going to do it, or they're not going to be on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched that for 3 years at Murray, 13 years at UC. If they don't try on defense, they're going to be out of the game so fast their head's going to spin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The culture is going to change immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the kids want to be coached. Kids want to be coached. They want to do that. They want to dive on the floor and look up and see 12,000 people screaming for them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to be down 20 at home and getting booed.
Exactly.
I mean, I looked at the schedule last year, and 6 home losses, I think I counted.
Probably.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Nick's lost 6 home games in 10 years.
Oh, that's good to hear. It just seems that this team, one of our friends at the UCLA B team podcast, Michael Hanna, he talked about how there's always change when a new coach comes in, and you just talked about culture, and we saw a little bit of change already because 3 Bruins exited the program, put their name in the NFL draft, are now in the NBA. You know, good on them. A lot of Bruins thought that they should stay, and they would have definitely benefited. But you know, it is what it is. Personally, and this isn't anything against the players, but I was kind of expecting maybe 1 or 2 more to maybe say, yeah, I don't know if this is the right fit. But we haven't seen that. It seems like right now, a coach is obviously excited to work with this team, and it seems like the players are reciprocating that. Do you notice anything with that?
I do agree with that, and you could just go no further than Cincinnati to see how many players left immediately. You know, that usually happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that goes back to, I really believe the kids want to be coached. They want to be pushed.
Mm-hmm.
They want somebody that's going to be in their ear to go to class, get to the weight room, get the study table, quit screwing around, you know, get in the gym, get your work done. You know, for UCLA program to be anywhere near the APR, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, the school is way too good. You know, the level of education is through the roof. And those kids are no dummies. All they got to do is put in the effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, they just need somebody to push them, somebody to be there next to them and say, look, man, this is a good thing. Getting A's and B's is cool. It ain't. You're not a nerd if you get an A and B. This is part of what we're trying to do. You know, we want you to get a degree. I mean, that means something. Getting a degree from UCLA means something for the rest of your life. You know, and they just need to be pushed a little bit. And I really believe that those first few meetings, they probably walked out of there and looked at each other and said, man, he really does care. And he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he's close with his players forever. I mean, they call him nonstop. And that's just the way he is. I mean, he really does care, and he wants to push them. And I think that's the thing. I mean, everybody thinks, well, you can't coach like Bobby Knight these days. You know, 2019, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I think you can, as long as the kids understand that you love them, you're not going to lie to them, you're in their best interest, and you're just pushing them.
Mm.
You know, they'll hug you at the end of the day and say, hey, coach, thanks for yelling at me. I really do. I've just always thought that.
Yeah, as long as, you know, it doesn't, you know, go over a limit, but that doesn't seem to be Mick Cronin's style. But you did bring up something. You talked about how Mick Cronin might want to go a little bit faster. Now, there was an article in Forbes where he talked about wanting to be the top scoring team in the nation. And, you know, some people laughed about it. And, you know, a lot of Cincinnati fans, I noticed, they chimed in. But, you know, I think the same thing. I actually wrote an article at Gojo Bruin about it, saying that, you know, with what he's done at Cincinnati, he definitely can, you know, play a up-tempo offensive game. And especially with these players who have been recruited specifically to play up-tempo. Now, the thing with Steve Alford is You know, we saw that it worked with the Lonzo Ball and TJ Leaf a couple years ago, but he just hasn't. He didn't have the pieces, you know, to do that every single year, but he does have talent. What did you think about Mick's comments about wanting to be the top scoring team in the nation?
Well, I did get a chuckle out of that too, because I just, you know, just from being around him, I know that playing slow is not what he wants.
Yeah.
He just evaluates. It's what he evaluates each year. And says, okay, what's the best way we can win with this group? And if you only got one point guard that's got a bad knee and every night it's swelling up and we can't find a backup, how are we going to play fast?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, if Tiger goes into preseason and he's fine and everything's great and Singleton can back him up or Bernard can back him up or Ali can give us a few minutes, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we're not flying up and down the floor. But it also wouldn't surprise me at all that if something goes wrong with turnovers, if, you know, things go wrong with, you know, just taking bad shots, things like that, he will pull it in and say, now, wait a minute, we're not going to do this. You know, we're still going to get good, solid shots and solid selection here, because that's the one thing he's always been really good at, is exploiting the mismatch. And we saw it here all the time where if somebody puts in a guy that's their eighth man and he sees, obviously, that he cannot guard whoever, whether it's Hill or Sharif or Singleton, and it's obvious that he's got a mismatch, you're going to see three straight times down the floor and we're going to run a play right to him and right at that guy. And he does that all the time. So, you know, that's why the efficiency sometimes, when you look at the efficiency numbers, they're not bad. They're not in the 300s. They're in the 30s, 40s, 50s, because even though they're playing slow, they're getting good shots because they're exploiting mismatches. So, you know, if you exploit mismatches with an NBA first-round pick, it's a little bit easier than when you exploit a mismatch with a guy that, you know, might be able to play in Europe someday. So
yeah,
that might be the difference, I think, from UCLA to Cincinnati, is I think we're going to be able to exploit these mismatches with guys that can really, really get it done. And, you know, of course we got the players, but I mean, the roster now, I mean, it's loaded with top 100 guys. So you can't say there's no talent.
Yeah. And you know, that was one of the things in the article, Mick was, getting a little bit frustrated with, other coaches and teams, negatively recruiting, saying that that's all they're going to do is play defense. And that's a little bit weird because that's kind of rubbed off on some UCLA fans. They think that Mick Cronin is going to be the second coming of Ben Howland, which, you know, compared to Steve Alford, he probably is, but I don't think he's going to have that, strict of a defensive, minded game. But
I don't think we're going to play like Virginia. Now, we'll have players just as good as Virginia, but I don't think you'll ever see him play that slow.
Yeah,
with that level of talent. I know he's played that slow at Cincinnati a few years, but it's because you got, you know, two guys that are fringe NBA players and four guys that are going to be doing mortgages, and that's, you know, pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's what you got.
Yeah.
You know, where UCLA, you shouldn't have that.
Yeah, exactly.
To be able to have a roster full of, you know, elite players, and I think he will have those.
Yeah, and you know, there are some guys that will hustle, will put in that extra effort. I'm not saying that some are going to slack off, but you can just tell that there are guys that have the ability to be, you know, really good defensive players. You know, one of the players I'm excited about is Jalen Hill, you know, in the center. Cody Riley's coming up. David Singleton, that guy hustles. I mean, he was one of the more exciting players and one of the fan favorites last year. So there are players on this team that can play defense. In your opinion, who do you think will benefit the most from playing Mick Cronin's style of defense, or any defense compared to last year?
Well, I think you named them, and plus Bernard, I think, too, being 6'6", being a guy that can play anywhere from the one to the three, I think he reminds me a lot of a kid named Jaquan Parker that played for Mick when they went to the Sweet 16. Just a hard-nosed kid that he might not have a true position, but he just gets it done. And if he's in there and those analytics say, well, when he's on the floor, we get it done, he's going to play. And I think he's a hard-nosed looking kid. Now, again, I haven't met him. I haven't stood next to him. But from what I've seen on film, I mean, I think he's got the heart. I think he's got the ability to really impact games the next couple of years. And I could see him playing a lot of minutes. And the one kid we haven't mentioned at all, but the one play I just watched the other night with Prince Ali when he came flying from behind and did a LeBron block on a kid. I think it was against Arizona State, if I remember. I watched so many of these lately. But anyway, it shows that if he buys in, nobody's counting on him. Everybody I've talked to from UCLA tells me, he's just okay. He's not this. He's not that. Well, I see a fifth-year senior. I see a fifth-year senior that can shoot a little bit. I see a fifth-year senior that don't make a lot of mistakes. And if he just buys in and comes to play and sits down and guards people with his 4 years of experience under his belt, I think he could really, really help this team, whether it's, you know, as a starter, as a sixth man, seventh man, whatever it is. You know, those experienced players, you can't buy experience. You know, you can recruit talent, but you can't recruit experience, and that's what he's got. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that he can have one of them senior years that everybody looks back on and goes, man, we sure weren't expecting that, you know, because it happens with seniors. You see it all over the country. There's seniors that come out of nowhere, mm-hmm. you know, and just have an incredible year. And if he does, it'll really help his team for sure.
Yeah, definitely. He's one guy who I wouldn't say he's, you know, a bad player. I've been disappointed because I can see the talent in him. He had some really solid games at the beginning of the season, but kind of wasn't consistent. And what I'm hoping for is that Coach Cronin, like you said, he can see his potential and, you know, pull it out. And especially as a fifth year senior, man, he's gonna want to impress, you know, in his last season at UCLA. But yeah, let's move on a little bit. Let's talk about Cincinnati really quickly. Are you still going to be following them as closely, or is it all UCLA now?
Well, I've been a fan of UC since I was born. So it's been almost 50 years now. So,
nice.
Yeah, I'll still be a fan. I'll still. And, you know, I even got in a little bit of trouble when Vic first took the job at UCLA because I tweeted out the only guy for the job is John Brannon. And some people from the UC administration weren't happy that I did that. And I was like, well, I'm around here. I know John Brannon's going to be a really, really good coach. He was right across the river in Northern Kentucky. I've known his whole family my whole life. You know, he's a very smart guy. So I see no reason why the Bearcats would have to miss a beat. They got a brand new arena now. You know, it took him 13 years to get one. Finally, after all that work, gets one and then left. But, you know, you went from the worst arena in the conference to the best arena in the conference, so that should help. So I don't see any reason why the Bearcats still shouldn't be good. And, yeah, I'll be rooting for them, and that's the good part is the Bearcats will play around here about 7 o'clock, and UCLA will play about 10. So there won't be too many overlaps anyway. Exactly.
Nice.
We won't have to judge. And I'm gonna fly out to LA a few times. I can't wait to get out there and meet the guys and see them in person. Because, yeah, you know, like I was telling you off the air, I mean, I've been judging talent for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So I love to walk in that preseason and watch them practice for about a week, and then I can pretty much tell what kind of season we can have as soon as I see the talent level. So I'm really curious to get out there and see them in person.
Yeah. Moving on, tell us a little bit more about Darren Savino. You know, we've just heard, you know, read little snippets, heard a few things about Mick Cronin's right-hand man. What does Darren Savino bring to the Bruins?
Well, a couple things. A lot of people, besides me and Darren and probably my dad, are afraid to talk to Mick too often. You know how that gets with the head coach.
Yeah.
You know, they all get intimidated. Darren's not intimidated. Darren's his best friend. They've been together now for years. They can talk, you know, back and forth to each other. They can argue. They can do whatever, and they still love each other at the end of the day, and they got each other's back. And I think more than anything, Darren just understands what Mick wants. So when he goes into that dorm and the kid's got his head down because Mick yelled at him, he can sit there and explain, you know, word for word what Mick wants. You know, what are we trying to accomplish? What's his role on the team? You know, when do we want him shooting? When do we not want him shooting? You know, when do we want him going for that rebound instead of licking out and trying to get a dunk? You know, all that kind of stuff Darren is really, really good at. And then the other thing that Darren's good at, I think he don't get enough credit for, is he don't waste time on recruiting. When he gets a player and he knows he's got an in with a player and he knows he's got an in with the coaches and the background and the family, he goes after it. But if he immediately finds out that we have no chance at this kid, a lot of recruiters will just keep trying. Mm-hmm. And they think it's exciting to finish in the top five. Well, you don't get any reward for finishing fifth for a player.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get any reward for finishing second. And Darren's really good at being able to diagnose that and say, okay, we got a real shot at this kid, or this is a pipe dream. He's going somewhere else. This is a waste of time. And he gets out and goes to the next kid. And I think he does a really, really good job at that.
Nice. I'm going to move this into recruiting a little bit, but ask a more general question. Coaching at Cincinnati for, what was it, 13 years?
Yes.
Mick was there. What is coaching at Cincinnati in that area of the country, recruiting? How is that going to help him to recruit to play in the Pac-12 and just to try to bring this team back to an elite status?
Well, I think what's going to happen is, you know, you hire a couple assistants that know the West Coast, you know, so they got the guy that's going to get into the AAU and all that stuff. You got Darren, who specializes more in the New York and East Coast. And then Coach Lewis is from Indiana, so he's got the Indiana, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Texas, all that middle range part of the country. So I think the staff has got the country covered to where we're not going to just rely on, you know, just California. Because I just don't think at this time you can do that. I mean, even look at Duke. I mean, they're getting guys from everywhere now. They don't just say, you know, we're going to just get the best players in New York and the East Coast. I mean, they're going to California, Texas, Chicago. I mean, they're going everywhere to get them. And I think that's what you got to do. I mean, you've got to be able to pull a kid, you know, the one kid, Jackson, that I know, you know, it's been on every blog that we're after. I mean, everybody's got him going to Syracuse, and maybe he will go to Syracuse, but we're in on him. So, you know, we're already in on a kid from all the way across the country that, you know, without Darren Savino, we probably wouldn't be in on. So I think that's going to help us just being able to get in all over. Because at Cincinnati, that was the one thing that I think hurt us, is the Cincinnati area basketball is just not that good. The high school level is just not very good anymore. It used to be really good, and it's just not very good anymore. So you don't get the kids that just grew up their whole life wanting to be a Bearcat, and it's an easy recruit. You just go down the street and say, well, you've always wanted to be a Bearcat, let's go. Well, that just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, at UCLA, you'll still get some of that in California, the kids that just grew up their whole life, they've always wanted to go to UCLA, and we'll have a great in with them. But the kid in North Carolina, the kid, you know, in New York, the kid in Florida, you know, if we can pull one or two of them kids a year, you know, it just gets to where it's back to a national thing again. And I think it helps with recruiting all over. If you can just land a couple, you know, and they can have some success, you know, even Arizona's done it. I mean, they got kids from New York. They've got kids from all over the place. So, you know, hopefully we can match their recruiting and maybe even take it up a notch and get, you know, back to the top of the Pac-12, because the Pac-12 is getting better. Mm-hmm. Washington's way better. Arizona, if they're not on probation, they're going to be way better. Mm-hmm. You know, so USC's got players. You know, there's Utah's got players. So it's not Arizona State's got players. I mean, it's not some powder puff conference that a lot of people on the East Coast think it is. It's not. You know, this conference is getting better. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna need some top flight recruits.
Yeah. Okay. Final question. This one is going to be a little bit more behind the scenes. If you can answer it, you know, totally. If you can't, I totally understand. But has Coach Cronin finally bought a blue tie? Because every picture I see him in is a red tie. He's definitely not. That's not going to fly in Westwood. Has he started to buy blue ties?
I'm sure he probably has. He's still trying to buy a house. But I think he moves in here in the next. I think he's got like a few weeks before he finally moves into a house,
nice.
Which he's been trying to do. But he can't buy a house without his daughter. The daughter's got the final say. And so he's saying, wait till everybody meets Sammy. Sammy's the queen. So,
exactly.
You know, it's when you look behind him, you're going to see the fat bald guy, which is me, and then you're going to see Sammy, you're going to see my dad, you'll see a couple of his buddies, and Sammy's a treat. She's always got to have pizza, so I hope California's got good pizza because she loves her pizza.
We can impress with some pizza, yeah.
There you go. And you know, the thing with Mick, too, you know, it's kind of funny, but other than Jay Wright, everybody thinks Jay Wright's the best dressed coach in college basketball, but other than Jay Wright, you know, he holds his own pretty well. I mean, he's got some nice suits and stuff, so I'm sure he's already found a tailor out there somewhere that's getting him some blue ties, and he'll be ready to go. I know he's excited for the season. I know that, and I know I can't wait. The only bad part for me is I keep looking at these plane flight prices going, gee, many Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's not cheap to fly out there, but at least there is a direct flight.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, thank you very much. Once again, this was Dan Cronin. Yes, brother of Mick Cronin, UCLA basketball head coach. Thank you very much. Where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter way too much, but you're welcome to follow me. I try to only talk horses and basketball. I try to stay out all that other stuff. And it's Keeneland Dan at Fat Bald Guy Racing. It's just that simple. Keeneland Dan at Fat Bald Guy Racing. And I'm on there all the time, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you. My only rule with fans is as long as you talk sensible and nice and constructive, I'll talk to you all day long. You start all that crazy stuff, and I got to get out.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Well, thank you,
know,
you so much.
You know what I mean. If you're on Twitter, you know what I mean.
Yeah, running a UCLA sports sites Twitter account. Yeah, I've gotten some interesting messages.
Exactly.
I'm like, I'm just gonna skip over that question. Well, thank you very much, Dan Cronin. You will see him probably a few times throughout the year at Pauley Pavilion. Once again, thank you for joining us on the Wotes Bruin Show.
All right, thanks for having me.
Well, that was just a great interview. Got some more insight on the UCLA basketball team. Once again, thank you to Dan Cronin for joining us. You know, just gave great insight. The UCLA basketball team, that's been one thing I've been wondering about, is how good will they actually be in this next season? They have all the talent. You know, we just talked about it. They have a ton of talent. Steve Alford recruited a lot of guys who played who were brought in to play up-tempo defense. So it seems, you know, like a no-brainer that Mick Cronin should at least attempt to play a little bit of up-tempo basketball. And if he says that he wants to be the top scoring team in the nation, obviously you're going to have to play up and down the court every single night, get a little bit faster. And why not? You have the guys. You just give them a little bit more focused defense. A reason to play, you know, solid basketball, to play for each other. And, you know, not, you know, as Dan said, sometimes it seemed like the Bruins quit or didn't try. That's not going to happen with Mick Cronin. Also know that for everyone that's saying, oh, there's going to be like Ben Howland. No, it's not going to be like Ben Howland. It'll be some of the defensive schemes will be similar. The fact that they will actually play basketball, play defense, indicates to me that obviously that's a little bit more Ben Howland than it is Steve Alford. But you know, I think we're going to see a pretty good balance of offense and defense from this team next year, and I'm quite excited. Also, one thing I forgot to mention in the headlines is that the Maui Invitational bracket came out, and UCLA the Maui Invitational is November something. I have it right here. I should have brought it up quicker, but my stupid computer. It's the Monday of Thanksgiving week. UCLA is going to be taking on BYU in the first round. They could have a potential second round matchup with Kansas, who starts off with Chaminade. So yeah, they're gonna, you know, the Jayhawks are gonna easily waltz into the second round, the semifinals of the Maui Invitational Tournament. On the other side, you have Georgia taking on Dayton, and Virginia Tech going against Michigan State. So that will definitely be a fun week, beginning of the week. As I said, it starts on a Monday, and I didn't see where the date was. November 25th, people. There you go. That's the first day. Tuesday's the semifinals, and the finals will be that Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. And the Bruins, you know, they have a decent shot. You know, they're definitely, if they run into Kansas or Michigan State, they're going to have a hell of a time trying to get past them. But should be fun. It'll be the first time we see the Bruins against, talent outside of the cupcakes that they're playing at the beginning of the season, because they are playing a lot of easy teams. But, maybe that's a good thing. Honestly, I don't mind that. I want them to play tougher teams, and obviously they will. They also take on North Carolina, and they're going to play at Notre Dame, which, you know, that's they're not a great team, but that's not going to be easy either. We're going to be able to see how the Bruins match up against teams that are already established. So that'll be a good measuring stick for the rest of the season. Also, something else, a little bit off topic. Last week, we found out that Beau Bridges, actor, former UCLA basketball player, I did not know that, he is going to portray John Wooden in a one-man play in September in a one-man show at the Colorado Hearst Theater for this one-man theater festival that's happening. It doesn't seem like it's going to be performed outside of Colorado, but wouldn't it be cool to have it have it performed at the Geffen Theater at UCLA? I'm just saying, that'd be pretty cool. I'd like to see Beau Bridges as John Wooden. So that's what's happening with basketball. Football, we're going to get into a lot more with this episode. If you are following us on Patreon, I didn't talk about that before. Patreon.com/ What's Bruin Show. If you subscribe, it's only $1.50 a month. So that'll help us out, help us keep this show going. It's mostly just for that. We're not here for profit, people. We're here for the people. We are going to have the San Diego State preview coming up shortly after this, as well as the running back preview. So three podcasts. One if you're only subscribing on iTunes. Three if you're on our Patreon. So if you want to get in on that, check us out at patreon.com. What's Bruin Show. And yeah, I think that's about it. Don't have a lot else going. As I said, next Wednesday is going to be Pac-12 Media Day. About a week after that, fall practice begins. I believe it begins on Wednesday. Is that a Wednesday? Wednesday, July 31st. That's when practice begins. And about a month later, exactly 4 weeks later, UCLA begins their 2019 campaign They begin their 2019 campaign at Cincinnati, so that'll be a good one. I completely forgot to ask Dan Cronin what his take is on Cincinnati football. Darn it, next time. We're just going to have him back on. That's what I'm saying, before the season. What do you say? All right, just because Jake and Bill are not here doesn't mean I'm not going to do What's Brewing. What's brewing with you? You ask me. What's brewing with me? Yeah. What's brewing with you? What's brewing with me? What's brewing with everybody? You. Well, not much is brewing with me. A lot of stuff is brewing with me, but can't delve into that right now. But I will tell you that I am excited for this weekend. My sister, who just moved down to Southern Orange County, is having a massive pool party. And I've been at the beach all summer. The kiddos love the beach, but at the same time, I just want a pool to chill in. So she's having a massive pool party. Can't wait for that. There's going to be a lot of family there, and family is always fun, especially when you have tacos. So my sister's doing a taco thing. But I will definitely have a lot more What's Brewing with me in the next few weeks. You will definitely hear about that. Like I said, changes are coming, and they're all good, but it's not going to affect what we do here at the What's Bruin Show. In fact, it might boost our presence, boost our brand. So yeah, that's going on. So for Bill and Jake, who are on assignment somewhere in the universe, I'm Mike Regalado. And as always, go Bruins.